and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 194. So close to 200. And the way it's going, it'll definitely happen. It's not all going to be cleared up in a week, is it, Mike?
No.
Anyway, we're going to get to that 200 if it kills us.
And it might well do.
It might. Who got in first tonight, I wonder? It was so subtly mentioned.
It's like a big kid.
Congratulations,
first in, first
Simon.
First in, first in, first in. I bet you didn't type that, Simon.
She reckoned that was a copy and paste.
Yeah, right? And then he ends in FI.
Ran out of space.
Yeah, because it can only display 200 characters.
Anyway, Simon. Oh, as long as it makes you happy. Your third comment where you've said stick it in your pipe and smoke it. Missed an opportunity to mention the lady pipe there. Just saying.
Is there a song?
What, lady pipe?
No. No, to do with smoking.
Probably, but
tomorrow,
don't go there.
Because of tomorrow night.
Oh, that's true.
I've come up with a load more songs.
Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
And Ring of Ice.
Ring of Fire, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Back to the lady pipes.
Yes, exactly. Right. Hello, everybody. At Simon's Inn. So we've got to say hello to Simon.
Paul hasn't heard that phrase for a long time.
Excellent.
I presume he means stick it in his pipe and smoke it, and not lady pipes.
Oh, dear.
Look at that.
Hello, Jonathan. Excellent. Hello, Paul. Simon's left the chat. Does that mean he forfeits first place? Just a minute, Jonathan. Right, you explain about this football scenario.
I was just bringing
it, just a minute, we need to make sure Kim's in first because she is umpire and I'm VARing it.
Kim's not in, so we'll have to come back to
exactly,
it.
Yes, exactly, Lola. Right, you tell them what happened.
Aren't we waiting for Kim?
Oh, okay, then. I'll carry on
unless,
with the roll
call. Unless you want to umpire by proxy.
Oh, if I umpire...
Well, you can't because you're involved. Conflict of interest.
Darn it. Anyway, hello, Paul. How is it down under? CQ, Deb. Simon's back, so he was definitely there. Hello, Deb. Hello. And yes, Lola's in. And she's grumbly, aren't you, Lola? Is this because you're not had enough treats?
You've had plenty of
treats. You're not going to get away with that one, girl. Not after yesterday.
You've had lots of treats.
Right. Let's keep our eye out for Kim, because I want a VAR. I'm demanding a VAR. Anyway, it's Two Show Friday. So how is everybody? Are we all ready for Two Show Friday?
Yeah.
Jonathan's been prepping for it all day. So you definitely should be. Have you had a nap? This is what we need to know, Jonathan. Because if you haven't had a nap, it might not end well. Depends what you've been up to.
Well, he's had a day off, hasn't he?
Well, he's had a day off, but, you know, that could mean DIY. Yes, it could, couldn't it, Lola? She's very concerned about that.
She's very vocal.
She's very vocal. I'm going to give you your own microphone. We'll put a little microphone down
there for you.
Johnny
had a nap, but wasn't as long as he was liked.
Oh.
Which is very confident.
Oh.
What book are you reading, Johnny?
Andy's got a new book.
How to stay awake in an after hours.
Not one that you wrote then, just saying.
The book what I wrote. Oh, what am I doing?
I have no idea what you're doing. What are you doing?
I can't remember. Oh, I know what I'm doing.
That makes a change. Yeah. Oh, I was up all night. I did not get to bed till... Was it about 8 o'clock?
Something like that.
And then I was up again because I had another session. So, yeah, a bit bog-eyed. Might be a short show. Give Jonathan a chance. Right, and I've got
If it finishes before midnight, does Johnny...
Jonathan has been known to fall asleep a 10:15. Let's be honest. It finishing this side midnight is no guarantee of anything. Let's just say. Oh, 50-50. Right, let's have a look. I can't imagine living in the Australian outback. I do like my motorways, I do. I know that sounds really bizarre, but when we go somewhere like Macclesfield and we have to venture off the motorway, after about 2 miles, I'm done. I am totally done at that point. Really don't like that. It's all... It gets far too rural for my liking, and the roads get narrow and windy, and then I don't travel well on narrow and windy.
Long and windy
I don't.
Road.
Oh, Jonathan wants to go to Australia. I must admit that the wildlife puts me off a bit. Not the koalas, obviously, and the kangaroos. The spiders and lizards and things. Do you remember that picture Jane took of a spider she found in the bathroom? Oh, I wish they could see you wagging your tail for them. You happy to be here? Yes, Mummy. Now, about the treats that are in the box
feed
that I've curled
me.
Up next to.
Feed
Lola,
me.
You've had enough. You're one of those people who puts a brick on the throttle and stretches your legs out. It's not that. I don't like the narrow, windy roads because, you know, not everybody's as good a driver as I am, is my mentality. You know, I don't speed round blind bends and stuff, but the things that I see other people do, it's a wonder sometimes that we've got home in one piece. Do you remember that trip back from Macclesfield?
Which one?
I think we had Chidge and Nina with us. And eventually, he said it'll be faster this way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, faster to death. Oh, it was horrific. So I just don't like windy. You know, on a motorway, oh no, I pay perfect attention. It's just, it's better. You do not want me being sick in the car. I used to have terrible, terrible travel sickness, even on a motorway. Mum and Dad decided to go down to Windsor for the weekend. And that's about, what, 170, 80 miles, something like that. And the roads weren't at all bad. But Dad was, in his youth, a lorry driver. And he then graduated to transport manager. But in his day, lorries, you really had to drive what I call very heavy-footed to actually get the things to move. Power steering wasn't a thing. And he used to drive a car exactly the same way. And yet he was bizarre because he wouldn't use the brakes when he came up to the lights. He would go down the gearbox. So he was... You know, he was very careful in that regard because he didn't want to wear the brake pads out, was the story. But it didn't stop him, like, going far too fast, in my opinion, and then slamming the brakes on in other circumstances. So I just found him very heavy-footed driving. And he had no patience with a child who was just incredibly car sick. So this trip to Windsor, I must have been about 12, 13. I wasn't a baby. And it really put me off because by the time I got to wherever we were going, I really felt shocking. But this trip to Windsor must have been the worst one ever. He was so exasperated with me and I couldn't help it. But it probably took about 3 hours to get there. I was sick 14 times. By the time we got there, I was as white as a sheet. I must have been so dehydrated. And I looked terrible, apparently, and I felt terrible. So I don't travel well as a passenger. So much so, Mum was worried that, you know, when you come to drive, you might not be able to drive because you don't travel well. But I was actually fine once I was driving. And I'm much better in the passenger seat rather than the back seat, which obviously as a child I was in the back. But I don't like windy roads, one from a safety perspective, and two, I don't travel well. So this particular time, now, this wasn't the time we were with them, but Chidge and Nina had taken me. So we went over to Macclesfield, which is only about, it was the Masonic Lodge, wasn't it? About 25 miles?
Yeah.
It was a little bit of motorway, and then they came off the motorway. Then it was an A road, and then it just deteriorated into a dirt track, as far as I was concerned. And Chidge also drives very heavy-footed, and not aware that I might not feel that great. Oh, he was taking these corners on two wheels. And Mike wasn't there because Mike had a webinar. So I was heading off to this event early, and as soon as he'd finished his webinar, which he delivered in full DJ and bow tie, he looked amazing. He turned up later and he was driving. I was going back with Mike. But oh, by the time I got there, I was boiling hot and literally thinking, I'm going to throw up. I am. So I'm not good travelling, that's why. Alice Springs. Where would I go if I went to Australia?
Perth.
Oh, yeah, Perth, because that wasn't the one that Mayorette. What's she doing? Madam's up to mischief now. Probably I'd like to see Sydney if I saw anything. You know, the Harbour Bridge bit and all of that. But I must admit, Australia's not on my bucket list.
She's lying on her bed.
In fact, going anywhere at the moment isn't on my bucket list. Is there anywhere you would like to see that you haven't already seen?
Me? Mm. No.
No, you see, I do the Google thing. I do the Google Earth thing, like I did with the bridge, the Øresund Bridge between Denmark and Sweden. And, you know, you travel it and then I go off down side roads and it's virtually the same as being there, only much cheaper and very safe. So I don't really think there's anywhere that I haven't. I guess America, because you've been, haven't you? But not for any great length of time.
No, I...
Mum always wanted to go to America.
I saw an airport. I went to, what's it, zoo, didn't I? Atlanta Zoo,
yeah. See the pandas.
Yeah. Pandas.
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 Oh, don't get me going. No, leave the pandas alone.
I went to Atlanta for a week working, so I saw, they dumped me there over a weekend. I thought, right, well, the least they can do is pay for me to go out a bit then.
I remember you came back with your, the little carton off the Chinese that pandas on it.
Yeah, I missed the connecting flight.
That was their fault.
Well, I had no experience of flying and I didn't realise that you could book your luggage all the way through.
So, well, how would you know if nobody told you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So when I got to O'Hare Airport, I think it was.
You were there, but the baggage wasn't.
Yeah, and my baggage came off the carousel. It was the last one off.
Yeah, it would be.
And by the time it came off, I missed the connection flight. So I had to sit in Washington Airport for about 4 hours.
You were at O'Hare a minute ago.
Well, I thought O'Hare was Washington.
O'Hare's Chicago.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't O'Hare then. I can't remember.
What's the one in Atlanta?
I don't know.
Because they all have names there, don't they?
Do I get per dime? What's that?
Hello, Paul!
I'll have to Google that.
He's no idea what he's got. Hartsfield, that's the one.
Oh, daily allowance.
I remember... Hartsfield, because on the West Wing they stopped over, and I remember thinking that was the airport that Mike went to, but I couldn't for the life of me remember the name of it. Obviously,
oh, that's right, yeah, Hartsfield. No, I didn't get a daily allowance. I think I just put my expenses in, and it was a dot-com boom company, so they paid it, and that's why they ended up going bankrupt about 3 years later.
Yeah, they paid everybody for everything.
And I ended up losing my job. I was one of the last out, though, I must admit.
You were.
Yeah. They were getting rid of people left, right and centre over about a year. And I survived till virtually the very end. Actually, the company's still going with about 5 people in it. whereas at the time there was like 200, and they're just spending money like it had gone out of fashion.
Do you know, I remember all the chairs and equipment that they got, and it was all to impress people, but no one actually came to visit.
No, and the thing is, I'm sure I've told this story before, they didn't actually have a product to sell.
No, but they had a nice idea.
Yeah, that was it. They had a nice idea. It was vaporware, really, wasn't it?
Kim's in!
Ah,
yay!
Kim. Right.
Right. Kim, we've got a VAR request. Right. Explain what's going on, Mike.
Right.
This has an impact on last week. Jonathan, do not disappear.
I'll have to find the story.
Yes, because Mike told me about this morning and I said, just a minute. It was so relevant.
Right, where's it gone? I did see the story before.
You did see the story because you told me about the story, Mike. So the story was definitely there.
Right.
It's a sports story, hence Mike finding
it. Right, there we go. There we go. Right.
Are we all ready? Sitting comfortably.
Tottenham Hotspur have been given a bye into the Carabao Cup fourth round. Now, the Carabao Cup is a knockout tournament in English football. After their tie with Leyton Orient was called off, when a number of Orient's players tested positive for COVID-19. The English Football League decided that the League Two club must forfeit the tie, having been unable to play in the fixture in line with competition rules. So Spurs will now play Chelsea next week in the next round.
Right. So, the players didn't rock up.
The chairman of Orient says they should not be punished for carrying out tests. This is an incentive not to test and is bad for football and bad for health and safety.
Yes, but the team didn't rock up to play and the other team got the point. Can I just draw an analogy here with last week? Apparently, we now have precedent, Kim. Jonathan was not here. Therefore, I'm requesting that we do a VAR on that.
No, because Jonathan didn't have COVID. Jonathan was...
He wasn't ill, no.
Detoxing and praying.
That's true. Yeah, it was a tech detox, wasn't it? We'll leave that in Kim's capable hands. Jonathan, there's precedent. There's precedent. Oh, and there was your perfect record gone.
You've
oh,
lost.
Oh, no. Kim's not going to be moved. Jonathan, you are so, so, so lucky. Do not let this happen again. We will draw up new rules. That's what we'll do. Jonathan, you do.
The other thing that Mourinho did last night.
Oh, that was a classic.
Was, there we go. My goalkeepers told me the goals were too small. Mourinho complained to UEFA about the size of the goalposts.
You couldn't make this up.
Tottenham were playing in North Macedonia and their goalkeepers had gone out for a warm-up before the match and they came in and they said those goals aren't the right size. So Mourinho went to see the officials and the club that they were playing at, the ground, it wasn't the ground of the team they were playing against.
Neutral ground.
It was somebody else's ground because their ground is deemed not to be up to standard or something.
Yeah, but the goalpost might have been the right size.
Yeah. So Mourinho touched the top of the goalpost and said, look, they're not the right size.
Can I just point out that Mourinho was about 5'5"?
He got out his tape measure and... not Mourinho, the official.
I thought you meant he had one in his pocket.
No, the referee. And they got the goalposts changed.
So they weren't the right size?
They weren't the right size, no.
Honest to God, there are rules.
There you go, there's a picture of
him. Oh, Kim's adding to these rules. Look at this. Oh, no. Hang on a minute, Kim. What if Jonathan's already nodded off at that stage? If YouTube goes out and both parties are still there, fair enough. But if one party has already departed, that's not on. If he's already gone, like he went at 10 past 10, I want that point. Hello, Tracy. Oh, good grief. Oh, no. The stats are just flashing up on the news that's playing in the corner. Not because I've actually done anything. I think it must be going into some kind of record mode. But the deaths are just... Well, no, the deaths are up to 34, which... It's not as bad as it has been. Obviously, there were like hundreds in a day. But the actual infections is shocking. It's shocking. They are up to, I think it was the third highest ever, so not good. Jonathan, I don't think Mike does have a spreadsheet, but we could probably extrapolate that information from the chat, couldn't we? Ooh! If he's nodded off, I get the point. Excellent. Right, we will have to codify these rules, won't we? That would be a lovely addition to the MacBite stats, Jonathan. Jonathan's got a good point here.
Yeah.
Well, I've just said we could extrapolate the when Jonathan nods off from the chat.
Yeah, we could create a chart.
Yeah, we're going to have a chart.
There's next week's demo. Johnny, if you could just remember what time you fell asleep over the last 94 weeks...
No, you wouldn't need to, because Neil comes in and says he's Jonathan there, and if there's no reply, he's asleep.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever that says.
Yeah, I could just search through all the previous chats for the word asleep.
Yep. And doesn't he go, doesn't he poke something in, does he? Is it poke Jonathan or something like that?
I don't know.
We'll have a look. You see, now, aren't you glad we've got the chat that we can find these things out? Just saying. Oh, that's fantastic. That's a great idea, Jonathan. These things need to be tracked, don't they? Do you know, I've just clicked a link here to get into this thing that I'm recording and it's not working. Oh, and do not talk to me about Evernote. Who still uses Evernote? Even if it's like historic use of Evernote, like me. I've got 10,500 notes in there, but they're not particularly active notes. You know, I don't actively add that much into it anymore. And the other day I'm thinking, this isn't right. And I'm trying to do a demonstration. I'm trying to record an export from Margin Note up to Evernote. And the first one arrived, but the second one didn't. So I'm trying to work out what on earth is going on. And then I think, this isn't synchronised. You know, it's a mile off. So I go onto the website. It's absolutely fine. And I'm thinking, this is not right on this machine. So I test another machine. Not right on that one either. But the mobile apps are all in sync and the website's in sync. So I thought maybe they're having a moment. So I did a workaround and that was fine. And then hours later, by this stage, I'll tell you how long it was. Mike was up. So I said to him, can you just check Evernote? Now, Mike doesn't use Evernote. He's only got the free account. But he gave it a go. His is synchronising beautifully. Me, I still pay for Evernote. Not working at all. I'm not happy. Not happy. You're not religious enough for all of that. Oh, we got a snottogram from the priest today in our newsletter. Oh, yes, didn't we, Mike? Definite snottogram. We haven't got a copy of it, have we? Where's that just gone? Oh, don't tell me it's crashed again. This is another issue that I've got. Oh, and I've got something else to share tonight. The end is nigh. The end is nigh for half this kit, to be honest. I'm finding Camtasia is crashing like crazy on my laptop. The issue with it being on my laptop... it's the old version. I never upgraded. And, you know, I know there's going to be a new one coming out in like 6 months. So I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay to upgrade in the App Store. So I'll just have to... I'm making do at the moment with screen flow. This is why I have so many different apps. Even though technically speaking, I don't need them. I do need them. This is why. Because now it's crashing. It's a crash fest. So what else is going on? Is anybody using Evernote? And have you got the problem? I have had to fiddle, and I do mean fiddle, with this. It wasn't even in the official help thing. It was in the forum and it was listed under something wholly different. But it was a process whereby you could actually nuke Evernote because nothing was working. Logging out wasn't working, reinstalling wasn't working, rebooting wasn't working. So literally at that point, even if you uninstall Evernote, it leaves the data behind. Because your Evernote data store, in my case, is probably about 13 gig and it doesn't want to delete it. So absolute pain in the backside. So I've done all the backups that it said because I'm thinking I don't want to delete these notes locally from the store, the data store in the background, and then have the cloud where everything's fine, thinking that these notes have been deleted. So I did all of that and now it's rebuilding itself. So I could be here for the rest of the week. Oh, Jonathan's just renewed his maintenance for Snagit, £10 or something for another year or another version. Not bad. Most used app. Snagit is the one that I use if I need to edit it. But I must admit, the workflow I've created in DevonThink, where I don't need it edited in some kind of way, is rocking my world at the moment. Doing really well with that one. But yes, Snagit's amazing. What I love about it is that tray at the bottom. And the fact that a lot of people just think that's the recents and that's it. But it's not like that at all. That tray can actually be manipulated so you can nuke everything out of it, but everything's, it's not deleted, it's just taken out of the tray. There's the library, and you can then go to the library and randomly select images that you want and add them to the tray so you can work on them as on like a project by project basis, which I absolutely love. And so few people seem to know that. But it is, I think it's £10 plus VAT, so about £12. Or it could be $12 and it works out about £10. But it's so worth it. When you think of the actual price of the thing. And you get the Windows version as well if you buy direct. So that's why I buy direct. You like the template feature. 5 images mini guide to show devs how to recreate a bug. Save so much time. Just wish I didn't need it that much. That's bug so good. Totally, totally. I'm hoping, because there's a new version coming out, the new version should be with us by the third week in October. And I'm thinking if they could make that do what Clarify does, it would solve the problem with Clarify rocking off its mortal coil. So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Oh, Paul's got maintenance for Snagit as well. I've got maintenance for Camtasia, so I don't particularly have to worry about that either. The only issue that I've got is that I need to record on multiple devices. Only record. Don't need to edit. Only edit on one device. But recording, I do need to record on more than one. And the way that ScreenFlow used to work was the trial was a permanent trial. The limit on it was that if you wanted to export it, it had this almighty huge watermark on it. But for me, that was fine. I would just install the direct version from them on whichever machine and do a recording. But I never, ever edited or exported on these machines. Obviously, with Camtasia, it's a slightly different story. So I bought it from the App Store and I buy it direct. The direct one gives me 2 activations, so that's fine. I can edit on 2 machines. But one of them might be Windows, it depends. But at the moment, it's 2 Macs. And everything should be fine. But the other ones that I need to record on, I use the version from the App Store, which I can install as many times as I like. But I didn't upgrade the App Store version to 2019, nor did I upgrade it to 2020. I'm waiting for 2021. So I'll either have to bite the bullet or just wait, because 2018 is now crashing. So not good. Right, awesome source. Everything's lined up there and working. Fingers crossed that they don't send us into any silly breakout rooms, because I can't be doing with that at the moment. Ooh, what's going on here? Oh, you love Clarify. Clarify was amazing. As was the one before it, to be honest, ScreenSteps. But they went all corporate. Do you know, if they'd have put out a subscription plan that was reasonable... I mean, their subscription plan was something like $60 a month. It was ludicrous. If it was a reasonable subscription, about £8, I'd have gone with that. I would have gone with that. Instead of which, I think they've just priced themselves out of the market. But I don't think that was actually a market that they wanted. I think they were actually trying to get rid of people who were just like prosumers. Maybe they required more support and it wasn't cost effective, certainly not at a single price. What was Clarify? About $30. It wasn't sustainable, but you know, the app itself is fantastic. So I really wish there's nothing comparable. Stepshot Guides was as near as I got, which was amazing until they sold themselves. They sold themselves to a company who took the technology, rolled it into something else. But they did leave like a kind of legacy version. But, you know, you can't live on a legacy version forever, because eventually it will stop working and they won't update it. In terms of the application or service that they rolled the thing into, it was Windows only, which I thought was criminal. So, no, it's Clarify or nothing at the moment, I'm afraid. And I would much rather have something that I could rely on. I don't want to think, oh, that's going to disappear from under me as well. All right, let's have a look. Oh, we've got a fridge. That sounds huge. 19.9 cubic feet. Oh, wow. I think the biggest freezer I've seen here is probably about 14 cubic feet. Oh, Grandma Isaacs needs a new fridge. She wouldn't use it. Make a great talking point to show off her shawl. Oh, way to go, Granny Isaacs. You've got to make them jealous at shawl. It's a thing. Then they'd all want one. This is how it happens. Why aren't I seeing that page? Are you seeing that page? No, I can't see that page. It says we're trying to find the page. It's probably bigger than our kitchen, you know. Probably. We'll find out. You'd kill for a fridge like that. I can't actually see it, but if it's what we in the UK call an American fridge, absolutely
massive,
not.
Aren't they?
They are huge. We would have to get one of those in, we would have to lose the current fridge, two microwaves, a cupboard on the floor, and two cupboards on the wall. I know that because my mother measured up for one, and I said, like, why do we need a fridge that big? But having said that, we have now got two fridges, but they are, one's a kind of about, what, 5 foot tall?
Yeah.
And the other one's like an under counter thing. But they get a lot of use, that's for sure, because everything we have is fresh. Couldn't deliver until December. Small for American standards. Yeah, but probably you'd fit both of ours in yours, Kim. I'm telling you, absolutely you would. Fridges are like a bit of a status symbol over here. You know, the ones that have like the ice dispensers and the drinks things. But, you know, you open them up and they've not actually got that much room on the inside. I think it is a status thing. People think like, oh, it would be nice to have. But a 25.5, wow. Oh, Mike, I need to find out how big our fridge is. Let's go to Currys and find one that's similar, because that's where it came from. Or make it.
You want to go to Currys?
No, on the website.
Oh, I have no idea.
Let's have a look.
Well, it's about,
I'll give you a ballpark figure. I don't reckon it's more than 12.
It's about 2 foot from front to back, if that.
Let's
and about 5 foot tall.
Let's try fridge. No, I don't want a fridge freezer or all the rest of it.
Shall I go and get my tape measure out like Joe?
Here we go, here we go. Oh, this isn't going to do us any good. I reckon this is the actual fridge, Mike. It does look like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we didn't pay a fortune because they never last that long anyway. If it is, this is going to be really helpful. 240 cubic litres. What's that in real money?
I don't know.
Right, let's see if Google knows. 240 litres in cubic feet. Let's see what it makes of that. Oh, brace yourselves. 8.5 cubic feet, and that's our big freezer, our big fridge. Did I mention they're bigger in America? That one is, how tall is that? 1.5 metres tall, which is, like I say, about 5 foot tall. That does look exactly like ours, so I think that is actually our fridge. Let's see if you can see it on there. That's the link I've got. Freezer-wise, we're fine with freezers. We have chest freezers. But according to Google, it's 8-point-something cubic feet. Scary. Your mother's got what's it, hasn't she, in her fridge, freezer drawers.
Yeah.
I don't like drawers in fridges, in freezers. They always, you can't seem to get whatever you want in the space you've got in the drawer.
I did at the flat.
I know, but it seemed to have a lot of like empty space beyond the drawer that you couldn't use. And I don't know why. The drawer didn't seem to fill the fridge properly. So ours is a chest freezer with baskets, which I think works better. I like the little side panel thing. You know where you can put the water?
Yeah.
We would empty a little bit out of the 2 litre bottles, otherwise they burst, and then just stand them up and then take one out that's absolutely, you know, frozen solid. Works well. No, I can't see Kim's, but that's ours. If that is right, that's ridiculous. 25. You remember me saying you could fit our entire kitchen into the corner of Paul's? I wasn't joking. Only colours were black, white and stainless steel. White's in at the moment in this country, but a good few years ago, brown was in. A kind of cream colour for the white goods, which is ludicrous, the white goods, with like very dark brown edging on it. I think Mum had one, but she loathed it. It was the in thing and she wanted the in thing. But after like a few weeks, she loathed it. So the next time she went back, she got white. Actually, I remember that happening, you know. I'm in the middle of running backwards and forwards to London to university, and I'm writing essays and I'm trying to get into Oxford. And she said the fridge isn't well. I had to drop everything and take her shopping for a fridge. There I am, and it was freezing cold. And I'm in the car with, like, gloves on, trying to turn the pages of my law textbook.
Right, I'm going to do dinner.
Okay. Right, I'll be out early. I will. Promise. Yes, Simon, I'm glad it's not just me. Hello, Mrs. Simon. Oh, I would love stainless steel, Paul. The only thing is trying to keep them not clean. Obviously, you can clean them, but it's the fingerprints on it that you never seem to be able to get off. In fact, I think we are at the minute. I don't think, can't remember what kettle we've got at the minute. But the kettle was stainless steel, and it gets like finger marks on it. It's the nightmare to clean. So we've never actually had stainless steel, although they do look absolutely beautiful. Simon's fridge is fractionally bigger than ours. Showing off again, Simon. These American ones, we could live in this. Yours are big enough for us to live in. Well, I've seen some of them, very tall, two sides to them. And like I say, we call them American style fridges. No, that's not going to happen. Oh, look at it. It's gorgeous. Mind you, there is the price, isn't there? There is the price. That is gorgeous. Yes, we do have those over here. Look at the one with it all stocked up. Oh, just let me dream for a bit. That is nice. In fact, if that was over here and somebody had one, honestly, it would be stacked to the gills. The shelves would be bellying. But it does. It looks absolutely beautiful. But no, that's not happening here. We'd never get it through the door. Honestly, we would not get it into the kitchen. We had... I'm trying to think, would you get it? You'd struggle to get it through the front door, to be honest. Never mind the kitchen door. But the back door, no chance. Because the back door is... it's a fire retardant something, something, something. It's the most powerful... It's so secure that you have to have a card with it for if there's a fire. So the fire service know what type of door it is to get through it. It's a legal requirement. But that means there's the actual hole where the door is, and then there's the door frame. And the door frame then contains the door, which means that the door is actually narrower. So it's probably about 5 inches narrower than an average door. So there's no way that would go in. No way. But it's gorgeous. Oh, Deb. Can't wait to see it. Feel the need to buy more food if you had a fridge that big. That's true, Jonathan. Thing is, though, it's fresh food, isn't it? So we just empty the fridge every week. So when, like, tonight is the last night that we'll be using things that are in that fridge. Tomorrow, we'll have lunch, we'll have dinner tomorrow. And that's where we usually, because Mike used to shop on a Saturday morning. So Friday night was where we would just eat whatever was left in the fridge. That, I guess, is now Saturday night. But at that point, the rule is the fridge must be empty. Completely empty. Now, you might have something in it like a jar of pickles or something. You know, these things that are in a jar and you keep them cool. But you would still take that out and then the fridge is cleaned. So it's not a big deal to clean the fridge because it's cleaned every week down to absolutely nothing. We put that rule in 4 years ago now, which was when we totally changed how we ate. And there was nothing that was tins or packets or anything like that. And it was just, I said, you know, you're putting fresh food in here. You can't leave something thinking that might be okay or it might not be okay. I said, you've got to take it down to nothing. And that's what we do every week. You're on fire tonight, Simon. You are totally on fire. They take the doors or handles off to get it in the house. I think you'd have to knock a wall down here. Honestly, I really do. I'm trying to think, what's the last biggest thing we had delivered? Because most of the time, we bring it back. So, the freezer was probably the last biggest thing. But the freezer wouldn't... There's no way the freezer would get in the house. It wouldn't go through the back door. It would go through the extension door because I had the biggest door put on that you could possibly have. He was saying, this is like an average door. And I said, no. We need the bigger door. So the back door is 90 centimetres, I think. So that's fairly big. It's the kitchen door that's tiny. There's no way the freezer would fit in there. But luckily the freezer doesn't have to fit in there because it has its own little house outside. The freezer shed, which is like an extension to the garage that was added for the person who lived here before. He had a motorbike, this huge motorbike. Could have been a Harley. He loved his bikes anyway. And he built this extra bit onto the garage because they also had a car. So this had like a weird opening front on it. Where he could, there was a personnel door, but he could also bring the bike and put it in the front of the thing. So it was basically like a magic door at the front. And he had the bike in it. And Mum saw this thing and was like, oh, the freezer will go in there. Because there's no way, it being a chest freezer, that it would go in the kitchen. No way at all. She did have it at some point in the conservatory that we had. But when we were having the extension built, it was like, I'm not having anything in there. I don't want the washer, the dryer, the freezer or anything else. We're going to have to find somewhere else to put it. And it went into this that we call the freezer shed that used to have a bike in it. And it fits fine. And I don't think it's a problem that it's actually outside. We use a lot less electric when it's cold, which in the UK is pretty much all the time. But you notice the cost going up in the summer as it gets warm because the motors have to work harder and you do see that there's a bit of a lift in it. You wish you was that organised. Running the fridge to empty is a house moving event every 10 years or so. Yeah, it was for us. I mean, Mum would just... I can't actually... I do remember her cleaning the fridge once down to nothing, but like you say, I think she was having a new kitchen put in. But she would always like... have something in. You never know who might call. So she always had to have things in the fridge. But, you know, I guess it's easier for us because we wouldn't even have like milk. We don't drink milk. So there isn't even any milk in the fridge. So the water wouldn't be in the fridge. We've got like a freezer bag that's brought upstairs with that. So the only thing that's actually in the fridge is proper food. It's not stuff. Not even things like yogurt. There's no yogurt, there's no milk, there's no orange juices of any description. So it really is just salad. So there's all the salad in the basket at the bottom. What else is in there? Probably, I don't know if it puts the veg in there. So some veg that's prepared might be in there. But to be honest, we probably don't really need both fridges now, but we do separate that out. We do have butter in there. It's one thing that we do have, but not much else. It's like there will be spring onions, there would be lettuce, tomatoes, all the stuff for salad. Salad is consumed here on a daily basis. by at least one of us, but more than likely two of us. And sometimes I don't have breakfast, so I don't eat like a porridge or cereal or anything like that. So my food is likely to be two salads and then dinner. So I would probably have a salad at lunchtime. Then I would have my evening meal, which he's actually cooking. And then I would probably have a salad about 3 o'clock in the morning, which would be my dinner time if you're with me. So there's lots of salad in our fridges, put it like that. Oh, Debs has put one in Slack of the retiring fridge. I shall go and have a look at that. I think, Simon, he did actually ride this bike. It was all a bit weird. It was a bit of a soap opera. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. What happened was the people who lived here were related. I think the wife was the sister of the lady who lives opposite. And the only reason that they were moving from here was that they wanted, at the time we moved in, I was of high school age, but their children were just going to start primary school. And back in the day in the UK, where you lived determined which school you went to, and they wanted their children to go to a different school. So they moved just to move into what's called the catchment area of this particular school. But the sister who lived opposite was really peeved because she liked having a sister opposite. And they basically took it out on us, the fact that they had moved. So that wasn't particularly great, to be honest with you, that they were really weird. So this guy on the bike, he was fairly young. He was probably in his late 20s at the time. And I think he did go out on his bike. But then with two young kids, the wife didn't like him going out on the bike. Yeah, it is weird around here. We will sort out a soap opera when it's all over. There you go. You measured the door your fridge came in, it was 95 centimetres. Yep, that's a little bit bigger than ours. But I think the outside door isn't the problem, it's the inside door. The inside door, if it was 95 centimetres, if it was 5 inches less than that, 5 inches is 12 and a half. So you're looking at just maybe 80. But you've got to remember that there's more than that missing. It wasn't 90 odd to start with. So it's probably not much more than 75, maybe. I can tell by looking it isn't going to fit. There's no way it's coming in the house, which isn't a big problem to us. It isn't. Just calling out his old mate and wondering where he is. Oh, I know, it's sad, isn't it, Simon? It's actually not been bad here today so far. I think that could be because the window's closed, because it's been absolutely siling it down again. We have had rain the like of which. So Lola had all spiky fur because she'd been out in it. And we had the darkest skies, but then the sun came out. So it was really, the houses were all lit up in like a golden glow, but behind them there was jet black clouds. It just looks really weird, but that happens here a lot. I'd love the ice maker bit of it, where you can just dip in and get some ice. But no, there's no way that's going in. I guess we could build another extension and put it in that way. I guess that's what people do. And when they have an extension these days, it tends to be very, very tall and very airy. They don't tend to like make it into three tiny rooms. They tend to have like one large area. Mainly for entertainment. I see a lot of entertainment equipment going in these places. But those fridges are... I do remember when we were last looking for a fridge, I did kind of have a look. And Mike was like, you do realise that won't go through the door. And I said, yeah, I'm just looking. It's nice, isn't it? Right, let's get back to the plain boring ones that would take all of like a box of Smarties. That's it. But you know, it's enough for us. Lola's stuff goes in there. Our stuff goes in there. And we're good to go. So we don't really need much more than that. I think in the UK, if you, Simon, let me know if this is how it happens, but you would not have got my dad looking at fridges until he saw these American fridges. And then it was, oh, you're looking for a fridge? I think I'll come with you. And Mum stood there rolling her eyes. She's like, we're not getting one that big. And I said, I know that, you know that. But it'll get him there, Mother. And yeah, all the guys, when you go into these like curries departments, all the guys are there admiring these American ones, while all the women are like, lovely, won't fit. And they're looking at the normal fridges. That's what happens. The new one has to come through the front. That would be our only option here. But it would be tight. Even in the hallway, we'd have to start moving things. The day that Dad went to the hospital for the last time, the ambulance had turned up to pick him up, and there was no way he could help them at all. So they needed to put him in some kind of, it wasn't really a wheelchair. It was like a chair, but they were going to carry it. And they got him in it, and then they were weighing up whether they would get it out of the front room door past this cupboard. And I said, I'll just move the cupboard. And the cupboard was actually full. And I just got behind it and shoved it towards the kitchen. And they managed to get him out. But, you know, with things like a cupboard in the way, that would have to move. We don't have, when you look up the pictures of Paul's, which is just drop dead gorgeous. I mean, the new one's drop dead gorgeous, but so is the old one because it's so light and airy. We don't have that. We put far too many walls all over the place that you then put little cupboards in front of, and then it narrows down the walkways to such a degree you'd have to start moving things to actually get stuff in and out, which is what happens. We did have a chair and a sofa arrive. And this came in the back way, thankfully. And we left it in the garden because I said to Mike, you know, I'm not doing this. I am not doing it where somebody else is bringing it in because it'll be an accident. And, you know, we had such trouble getting this. And it's not a big sofa. It's only a two-seater thing. And the chair had to be dismantled before we could bring that in. They just don't think. You do sometimes see in the UK for things like big sofas, like the one Paul's got, the L-shaped one, which is gorgeous. Something like that coming to somebody's house, it won't fit through the front door. They take the windows out. So they will take the front room window out and then take the item in and then put the window back. My mother would have. She'd have hyperventilated at the mere thought, I'm telling you. Oh, she would. So no, we never did any daft tricks like that. A lot of the stuff comes flat packed, which, you know, then there's no issue, is there? But no, that fridge is, we would need two very large extensions to get that in, but never mind. So Kim's has got a kitchen, dining and living room all in one room. That's what I mean. They're very light and very airy. Ours just aren't built like that. Some people have knocked two rooms into one, but instead of it being like squarish and looking right, it just looks like two smaller rooms. So like a long corridor type look to it. We didn't go that route. One for security. Mum was security obsessed. And the other reason, you would kind of lose the ability for one person to be in one room doing one thing and somebody else to be in the other room doing something else. The thing I thought about was making the office bigger by putting like an archway in or something between the two rooms. But again, I'm glad that I didn't do it because now we need the peace and quiet. So I'm recording video and Mike's delivering training courses. It's better that we actually have a definable space that you can close the door and the microphones are optimised to such a point you can actually both do what you need to do. So I can't see us making any changes now, to be honest. Right. Have I caught up with anything? Oh, the drinks dispenser. I want that one as well. There was one that had like water in it and you could go up to it and like put a glass underneath it and get some water. But I think it would be something that you look at and think, oh, that would be amazing. But I don't actually see that being used because, to be honest, I'm not going to walk all the way downstairs if I want a glass of water. I've got all of that up here. So we would have cold water on tap up here. I just don't think it would get used that much. So, yeah, we'll stick with the one we've got. But when you think it's 8.5 cubic feet, you're talking about 25. Now you see what I mean about scale of things. Right, let's catch up. The couch is large and it barely made it into the room. It needed to go in. took four large men to manhandle, get it through the inside doorway. That's the thing, isn't it, Deb? It, you know, sometimes Pythagoras, if you put it on its side, you might actually get it in. We've done that with chairs. But the chairs that are, the style of them is like a lazy boy. But they're not actually lazy boy. But you can take the back off. And that's what we had to do with some of them. But basically, wherever something is at the moment is where it's staying. Because I just don't have the bandwidth for it. I really don't. There's no way. I'd have to move so much more other stuff to move that stuff. Do you know what I mean? No, can't do it. Cannot do it. Ooh, I can hear dinner. I'm going to be called. Right, okay then. I'll do the out here, but we will, of course, be back with you at 9 o'clock for after hours. But for the moment, it is good night from me, and I'll say good night from Mike, and we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.